Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me as ever, Willy Yum Yum. You all right?
Willy Glum Glum.
Are you Glum Glum or Yum Yum?
I'm Yum Yum. It's getting there.
Yum
Somewhere
glum.
In between at the moment. Yeah, yeah, Yum Glum.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look, if you want to get a real update on Chris's dinkle situation...
Johnson.
then we went into it on this week's we've just recorded this week's Patreon, which is there's not even a top five on there, but it's an hour long chit chat really, and a bit of a catch
about
up.
How much of a man you are. I'm less of a man now,
yeah.
And you're more of a man now, and it's just funny how the tables turn, isn't it? Because for the most of our relationship, I've clearly been the masculine one,
yeah.
But now you're Captain Pubes.
Yeah, I am.
And so we had a whole Patreon episode of you got awarded a badge, a chief. What was the title of it?
Hang on, I keep forgetting. Let me just have a little look.
Chief of?
No, I wasn't a chief of anything.
You are a chief.
It was the High Sheriff's Award.
High Sheriff's Award. And if you want to know why Stu got the High Sheriff's Award for doing actually something really cool... then that's on Patreon this week, as is our discussion about his weekend spent with Ray Mears. And, you know, I'm sorry, I've announced your relationship with Ray. Is this first time anyone's heard?
Yeah. You know, we're an item now. But, yeah, this week's episode over on Patreon does go into that surreal letter I got for something that happened a couple of years ago. Getting that award, and obviously the fact that I've just come off of that weekend and just talking about how brilliant and bananas it was, really. And obviously we get a real update on Chris's dinkle as well. And so...
You're all worried about it.
I am. We are all worried about it. Well, look, we've got a great top five for you today, but before we do anything, let's get a word from our sponsor. Okay, first up, we have a brand new message from our sponsor, love-beer.co.uk. Charles says, we're delivering to home and office bars in and around London, including Essex, Kent, Hertfordshire and more.
We're a one-stop shop for everything you need to pour a beer at home, from installation of the equipment through to delivering kegs straight to the bar.
This year, with rugby and World Cups, we're also developing our hire equipment with a quick and easy-to-use solution to have kegs at home. For about £3.20 a pint, we can install a keg with all the equipment you need to pour beer for up to 2 weeks.
Yes. All the equipment we provide can dispense up to two kegs at the same time. So if you wanted a lager and one of my amazing craft beers we featured previously on the podcast, then the per pint cost will be even lower, and the equipment we use will keep it pouring properly for the full 2 weeks without you having to do a thing.
The only thing you have to do is go to love-beer.co.uk. The world can seem like a strange and sometimes dangerous place. With Samet Academy helping you with your martial arts training, you can always feel safe. Dangerous loners are everywhere. They come across as harmless board game geeks or indie music fanatics, but the reality is far more sinister.
Yes. Renzi Simon James has been training karate for over 32 years and teaching for 28. He knows through first-hand experience that martial arts can give you the stress release you've been looking for. It can teach you life lessons along with fitness and, more importantly, peace.
At Sama, he teaches karate, kickboxing, tai chi and MMA to all ages, from children as young as 4 to the very elderly, even Stu.
What? Aside from that, he also teaches ladies self-defense courses, team building courses, corporate training days, apprenticeships to become a martial arts instructor for Sama.
Yeah, he even teaches a parent and baby self-defense course. That's defense while carrying your child, not defense against maniacal murder babies, because we all know there's no defense against them. So go hit Simon up at sama-academy.co.uk. There you have it. Lovely, lovely sponsors. So today's top five was brought to us by the main man, the man from Del Monte, or Acast.
Acast, you don't work for Del Monte.
Acast, oh sorry. Jcast, one of his many nicknames, John Harris, who also is the wonderful pioneer of the Dream Factory podcast with Joel, which is amazing. And
go check them out. They've done a top five, haven't they?
Oh, mate. Their top fives with us are brilliant. Hopefully, we're going to have them back actually soon, because they Dream Factory is running up and running. And if you don't know about that, it's basically a podcast all about it's about film titles, isn't it? And they'll do a play on a film title. So instead of Dunkirk, Funkirk, I think that was one that I took. And then you have to explain what the premise is of Funkirk as opposed to Dunkirk. It's really good fun. They're great. They're very professional podcast hosts as well. So go and check it out, Dream Factory. Anyway, John put this one forward to us. Top five things you've changed your mind on. For better or for worse, maybe. Maybe it's not always that, I changed my mind and it's all worked out nicely. That is my number five, I may add.
Go on in.
Go
on in.
All right, then I will go. So basically, my top five is the thing I changed my mind on last year, which was... We had it all planned to go to Cyprus on holiday, and we planned it out to the nth degree. And then we looked at prices. It was a bit expensive. And then me and Molly went, let's have a quick look at some other prices. And we saw Corfu, and it was cheaper. And we just booked it. And that turned out to be, there's a whole podcast about my problem in Corfu, alongside the fact the hotel nearly collapsed, and there was landslides and drought, floods, and I wrecked the car. I crashed the car twice in one day. That turned out to be like one of the worst things we've ever changed our mind on. And when me and Molly were talking about it today, it was like, yeah, it's like, why? It's okay to change your mind. It's good to be flexible, but think it through. And we didn't.
I've just realised that Rainier's weekend, I've had a holiday where nothing went wrong.
No, exactly. Yeah, and when it did piss and rain, you actually welcomed it.
Yeah. Wow. That's a first. Yeah. We've been unlucky with holidays. We really have.
Yeah. My last one involved being fucking carted off a mountain.
The stretcher. Oh, do you know what? That picture. This year, your email, your message about the bloke opposite you, like just staring at your cock when the nurse was looking at it, was the best message I've ever had. That photo of you being fucking stretched off a mountain, and like, and certainly the video when you can hear fucking your pals laughing. He's fucking gold.
Doing the American desert. Burr, burr, burr. Burr, 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 burr. It's so funny. Yeah.
Oh, fucking brilliant.
Anyway, so that is my number five. Like, just a quick lesson learned. It's okay to change your mind, but man, don't just, sometimes don't be too whimsical about it. You know, think it through first. Or else you might end up in a hotel where the water's coming through the walls and the walls are collapsing and crumbling around you. Okay, what's your number five, Stewie?
I'm going to go for a band.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, gotcha. I'm going to go for the band The 1975.
Okay, yeah, fair shout, yeah.
Who, when they come out, I remember hearing that the singer was the son of the bloke from If We'd Some Pet and One of the Loose Women. And I remember seeing him on Buzzcocks and thinking he was a bit of a tit. And then hearing one of their songs, Chocolate, I think it was called. And I just remember thinking, this just sounds like a really lame In Excess. And they were getting loads of press. And then I was just like, this is rubbish. Why is anyone interested in this band? And then I was getting asked more and more from when I was DJing at the brush and stuff. And it just annoyed me. And I was just like, no, I ain't fucking playing them.
Yeah, you ain't fucking with them.
And then I heard their next album. I got sent this thing. I saw Eddie Temple Morris post.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of this band. And I've just interviewed Matt Healy, the singer, and listened to the new record. And it's blown my mind. And I was like, well, I'm a fan of Eddie. You know, I'll take, you know, I think, right, I'm going to go and listen to it because I've just been sent it.
Mm.
And it was the first thing was Give Yourself a Try. And I put it on and I was like...
You laid on your bed, you hugged the album as you listened to it.
Press play and I was like, well, this is great. and then the follow-up single was Love If We Made It, which blew my mind.
Mm.
Any song that starts with the line "We're fucking in a car shooting heroin," I was like, "Wow, that's." Mm-hmm. And then I went and watched some live footage of it, and I was like, "Fucking hell, this band tear it up live!" And then I went back to that first record that I thought I didn't like, and heard the track "Sex" by them, and I sent a video of it to Pip the other day. Of them performing it at Tea in the Park, just to go, because you know we occasionally send each other videos of crowds responding, and it you know making me bottom lip go a bit,
being losers,
and it's fucking amazing and just really good fucking songs and I've just kind of then. Just really sort of, I like watching footage of him live. I think he's a really fucking great front man. And I think they've got great songs and I think they're really exciting. And if you're a young kid getting into guitar music and you like pop sensibilities and you like charismatic front people that are generally sort of preaching quite positive stuff.
Then.
The 1975.
Give them a try. Give them a whirl. It's funny that, isn't it? How like you can sort of like here, you can sort of like have a certain opinion or prejudice against a band, and you don't want to go near it. And then like at some point you see a live performance or whatever, and you just completely like I was looking at this band the wrong way, or maybe your tastes and sensibilities change, and all of a sudden it opens you up to a world of pleasure.
Yep. The 1975.
So. Mine's a little similar.
1974?
Yeah, just one earlier. This isn't that I like this genre or these types of bands anymore. It's just I'm now okay about them existing. It's literally that. When I was a kid, I hated them. I really hated them. I don't know what testosterone was doing to me. Or whatever, it was obviously like the thing that it's not cool for boys to like boy bands, and that's what it is. But I remember when bands like Take That would come on the TV, I'd run up and punch the telly, and this is where you go, oh, you're hard. That's how much of a physical reaction I had to boy bands. I really hated them, and I'd be like, oh, they're all fucking losers, and hated their music in its entirety. And I know that you're not a big fan of Gary Barlow and stuff like that. But as I've got older, I have completely just softened on all of that shit. Like, it's not that I listen to boy band music. Like, I swear, guys, I don't.
You've just given up on yourself. It's fine.
It is. I mean, if you look at me, it looks like I've given up on myself. I'm like, if that's what people want to listen to, and if it reaches out and it makes people feel good, and you know whatever, I'm absolutely all for that, you know. And like there is the occasion. I remember when like the Take That song came on. I've said this before, like, about 4 or 5 years ago. And it came on in a car, and I was like, oh yeah, I like this one. And I was like, Why am I saying I like this one? Like 20 years ago, I'd be going, shit. So yeah, I have just, my mind on that has completely changed. Like, I just fucking, I'm all right about it. My mind hasn't changed on Happy Hardcore. I still think that's absolutely one of the worst genres that ever existed. And I'm sorry if I'm upsetting anyone listening who likes it. I just think it's dog shit as dance music.
Yeah.
I just think it's terrible. And I like anyone, yeah, I just, shit. I used to go to raves and there'd be like one room would be happy hardcore and another would be drum and bass. And I'd just look at all the people in the happy hardcore room thinking, oh God. And my opinion on that hasn't softened. I think it's a load of dog shit. Literally.
Unhappy hardcore.
Unhappy hardcore. Crappy hardcore is what they should have called it, mate. More like crappy hardcore. But boy bands, I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, well, yeah. If you want to sing about, like, you know, if you want all your songs to be about love, all
right. Yeah, but most songs are about love, right?
Exactly that.
There's a million love songs out there, mate.
A million love songs. Was that intention?
Yeah, of course.
No. Yeah, of course it was. Now I feel like it wasn't. So, yes, I actually don't want to smash the TV in. And I said, you know, if you want to be in a boy, man, you know what? More power to you. You're going to probably have a fucking lot of good stories to tell by the end of it. So, yeah, go for it. Knock yourself out, mate.
I had...
Or girl bands, same.
I had, what's his name? He was in Boyzone. I forgot his bloody name. Not Ronan Keating. He was in Coronation Street, not Shane Lynch. What's his bloody name?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't, as I say, I don't love it.
Oh, he was a really nice fellow as well. I had one off
the... Has he got a one with a little bit of like grey in his head?
No, that's Shane. Keith Duffy. Oh. Keith Duffy.
Keith Duffy, yeah.
I had him on about 2 months ago. He's got some band with Brian McFadden from Westlife.
Oh, okay. So it's a bit like them Crooked Vultures, but for boy bands.
I think they're called Boys Life. All right, see what they've done there. No, they actually are.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, hearing him talk, and I'm not a fan of Boyzone. I'm really not.
Mm.
but you're in a huge fucking boy band. And you're young, handsome, and you're literally being flown all over the world.
Living your best life.
And do you know what? He's not one of them, yeah, it was just really hard work, man. It was just exhausting. Mm. You know, the label didn't really look after it. It was like, we had the fucking time of our lives.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had, yeah, it was hard work, but fucking hell. Like, what an opportunity. Like, you know, it was just nice to hear someone just say how much fucking fun it was and like, and what a fucking crack. Like, yeah. Okay. I mean, I still...
What's your number four, baby?
My number four. Scroobius Pip. When I was working at the toothbrush and he'd turn up with the Langdon lot, I didn't really like any of them, specifically Tom, and I just remember like Pip being the tallest.
It's his happy birthday, Thomas Coles.
Happy birthday, Tom. And I remember like because like Tom had a bit of beef, and he was just fearless and a gobshite. It annoyed me, And I just always remember, like, I always remember seeing Pip wandering around with, like, a baseball cap on and just being, like, quite tall. And I remember just thinking...
Hate tall people.
He was, like, the tall one in that group. And I remember just thinking, dickhead. And, like, I'd never spoke to him. And then he talks about the time that he'd come to DJ at the Toothbrush. And I've got a vague recollection of it. I don't remember him throwing up, which he mentioned. But I do remember thinking, oh, it's that fucking kid from fucking the Langdon lot. And I remember just thinking, like, you're all just fucking idiots. And I don't know if I changed my mind or not, actually.
They are all just fucking idiots, mate, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. But then, obviously, you know, fast forward however many years, you know, you get to hang out. He's all right, really, isn't he?
He's all right. He's probably listening to this.
Yeah, ripping it off.
not going to get ripping himself around his bedroom because he knows I can't at the moment. I actually phoned him and asked him to just keep up my quota of wanks. So he's doing it for me at the moment.
He's
a really good guy, yeah, to be honest with you.
I'll take him on for the team.
He's taking one for the team.
Yeah.
But he's like, do you want a hand with that? He's like, no, this is purely, this is something I've got to do for Chris.
Yeah, I'll throw Pippikins in. I thought he was a fucking, him and his mates were a load of fucking arseholes. And
that's cute.
And he's all right now. And yeah, and I love Tom as well. He's great.
Yeah, he's a good lad. He's a really good bloke. Right, okay, mine, this is an exciting one.
Just quickly, if you want to find out a little bit more about them stories, go and watch the Pink Toothbrush documentary. It's on YouTube. It's called Pink Toothbrush 30, and it was made by Tom Coles. And there's some really funny stuff with Pip being interviewed on there about them times. So, if you've got an hour to kill and you want to know a little bit about the venue, then go check that out, because that was made by Tom. And obviously Tom made plenty of vids for Pip as well. And, so a couple of talented lads in that Langdon lot. And you. Right. What's your number three?
Milk.
What about it?
I remember being like, you know, like when you go to infants and like, you know, like at 11 o'clock, people could have their milk.
Really?
Do you ever remember that?
Yeah, of course. But I thought Thatcher Milk Snatcher had kicked in by then and you'd lost milk.
Listen, I weren't having it. But milk was happening. I didn't look into the school's financial model for how milk was coming into our classroom.
Famously, Thatcher took school milk away.
Yeah, did she? Hmm. Thatcher Milk Snatcher.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, milk was happening. I think I was more the Major era. John Major was more the era while I was at junior school. Right. Maybe Thatcher was there at the start. But even so, I mean, we had milk. What can I say?
Was it warm?
No, listen. Well, I don't know because I couldn't have it. Right? Because they'd all go like, you know, it's Levens' time and everyone had milk and they'd either have full fat or like semi, whatever. And they'd get a straw and they'd stick it in their milk bottle. And it would fucking turn my stomach. It would I'd be sat there and everyone's drinking milk around me and I'd just be going, what? Like that every morning. I'd be trying to get away from everyone. Everyone's like, oh, I love milk. And I'd see it creamy head and I'd just be like, fucking no thanks. So I detested it. I really detested it. And then, I don't know, I got into, you know, so got older, started liking, you know, cheeseburgers, pizza, all the healthy dairy stuff that, you know, your parents lovingly bring you up on. Little bit of cheddar cheese, you know, cheese toasty, cheese on toast. I got into that. And then I started going Nesquik, milkshakes. Yeah, all right, I'm back in the milk fan club. So I changed my mind. It didn't make me feel sick. And then about three years ago, I saw, you know when you see these posts on fucking Instagram or whatever, Facebook, and it was just of a cow being milked and the colour of the milk that comes out of a cow. And it ain't milk colour, guys and girls, it ain't. It's not very appetising. And after that, boom. Like, that was me. I was like, fuck that. Like, it did make me think, like, the whole idea of, like, why are we milking animals? Why are we milking them?
Why are we yanking their fucking calves from them just as they've given birth? And so, because that milk is not for us. That milk is for their calves. Them calves are ripped from their parents. And then fucking cows are just milked, fucking and milked. I haven't drunk milk for nearly a year now because I watched a documentary on BBC about dairy farming and these cows literally being smashed with like shovels by these cunts, just to get them into these things, and then just literally having their cart, like literally their babies taken from the minute they're born and just pushed into these things and just milked and milked. It's fucking horrible.
It's insane. And like, I don't know, it just like, you know, without getting all fucking Morrissey, it did make me go, so actually just even dairy farming at first, you just think, oh, there's no harm in that. It's like, there's no harm in eating eggs. It's like, if you look into how and why, what goes on with that, you know, what do you think they're all doing with all the male chicks
that can't produce extra large eggs? Like when you buy large eggs, them fucking poor fuckers are not bred to give birth to eggs that big.
No.
Like,
it's like women aren't used to really taking on an anaconda like the Kraken that I've got. It's just unnatural, really. These things just happen and it's just a travesty. A
little bit smaller now.
It is a bit smaller, way smaller than that. Yeah, and it just put me off, man. Like, and I, you know what? I have vegan cheese. Like, so Oatly milk is the one. You know, I think Oatly milk is brilliant. And there's a barista one for your coffee, and I'm golden with that. I don't ever need to go back to milk.
No,
I just
one,
don't.
No one needs to drink milk anymore. No one needs to. Like, because
Oatly is just as good, man.
There's all manner of different soya, fucking milks almond. Out there that, like, yeah. If or all almond. It is plonking in your brew, then like you do not need to.
Yeah, just stop it. Like, cut down on it. And like, I must say, like, I do still, I don't have a load of cheese, but I do have a bit of cheese. Mm. And like, maybe at some point when I was vegan, obviously, I managed to cut it completely out. And it wasn't the end of the world, I must say. And maybe I'll go back to that. Mm. But I mean, I'm hardly stocking my cupboard with like cheddars and Stiltons. I don't. I think we've got vegan cheese in there now. Mm. But you know, if I have a pizza, you know, if I have cheese on it, fine. But people are always like, oh, you hypocrite, you're not doing that. It's like, I've cut down, like, so much of my consumption of meat and dairy.
To be 100%. Just the more, every little bit all helps, right?
Yeah, because if there was a lower demand on it, there wouldn't need to be such a strain mm-hmm. on getting all these animals into da-da-da, like, how they are treated. And maybe a more natural way of harnessing them. Would be there, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so milk. Didn't like it, liked it, don't like it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's your number three, mate?
Friends. The TV show.
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry, yeah. I just thought you meant in general.
No,
right,
the TV show. I've got a few actually, but I'm going to go with that because that was the one that I think it was on a Friday night when it first started, and I was always at, and it was like things like The Fresh Prince, because I've said obviously before I've never seen an episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it's like these shows. Everyone's like, "What? You ain't never seen that? It's amazing." Yeah. And that was Friends. Everyone was like, "You've never seen Friends?" And I'm like, "No." And I just thought it was going to be this horrible television show about all of these smug, you know, American people living their best lives. And I just thought, oh, I'm not interested in watching Friends. And I didn't watch it for years and years and years.
Was it the lack of sort of like racial representation that got you into it, though? Because there was... Was it because it was mostly just completely white? That's then when you went, oh, it's actually quite safe to watch. Well, I'm sure that's what you told me previously.
I'd be lying if I said that I picked up on that when it was out.
No,
I didn't.
I'd be honest with you. I think most people didn't, Stu. And, you know, obviously that says a lot about society and stuff like that.
But we're having a conversation now, right?
Yeah, of course.
And, and then for some reason... I think it was when we went to record our album and we stayed in this studio. And when I say stayed in the studio, we slept in sleeping bags on the floor. Like, it wasn't anything glamorous at all. And Nick Noyes from Mouth of Madness took a telly and a video with him because he was literally addicted to television. It was quite weird. And I think he took a friend's VHS and there was nothing else to do. So I watched it and I was like, well, this is really funny, isn't it? And and I was like, these characters are incredible. And then, yeah, fast forward whatever many months, I think I'd probably spent a few hundred quid on VHSs of all of the series of Friends. And when I bought my first flat, I remember being quite weird, being in a flat on my own for the first time, and I would always I'd fall asleep with the telly on. And I would just put Friends DVD, VHSs in and just watch them till I fell asleep. And it's weird because my kids are obsessed with that show now. My kids watch it all the time.
Yeah, when I come over, they've always got it on.
Yeah, and so it's always on television anyway. And if it's on, I will get drawn into it, and it will make me laugh. And I just think it's one of them shows that it's quite comforting. It's very you haven't got to think too much about it. There's fun. There's good gags in it. And it's, I guess aside from, some of the underrepresentation, it does come from a good place as well. I think, it's talking about the positives of, being nice and love and...
Oh, yeah, completely. Like It's definitely you have to carefully navigate those sort of discussions about underrepresentation and stuff like that. Especially, for me, growing up in Essex, most of the people I was hanging out with was white. And so I guess you don't, if you're in a community where pretty much your whole neighbourhood is white, I don't suppose you immediately will notice those things. But it doesn't mean to say that there's not communities in that country which is predominantly a completely other different race. And then therefore, it's going to be starkly apparent to them that they're being underrepresented. So, it's interesting. But yeah, good shout, mate. Good old shouty shout.
Is it your number one?
No, it's my number two.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, Milk was my number three.
What have you done?
I've done Milk. I've done... I can't fucking remember.
Oh,
my
memory's
awful. All right. What was it? Milk.
Milk. No. Lemonade. go on then. What's your number two?
Boy Bands was four, and number five was Corfu, holiday to Corfu, the snap is in. So my number two is more of a self-reflective one. It's about but my last two are quite
boring
about me. Number two is that is about the I really felt that in order to, exist, be happy, you've got to be successful and probably rich.
Yeah, 100%. Completely.
And that was brought into me by my mum, my dad a little bit, but more my mum's fear of poverty that she had, as growing up. And, she was a single mum for quite a while and probably had a rough time before she met my dad. And so ingrained in me was study the academic subjects
get rich
and
or get die
yeah. Well, my mum actually was she did date Fiddy for a while. and so she really that really was ingrained in me. As a kid, I remember being 8 or 9, and my mum being all excited because she'd be telling people that I wanted to be an aeronauticist when I'm older, which is basically, I'm going to patronise anyone who doesn't know this, but it's basically somebody who effectively designs aeroplanes, is a crude way of saying it. So,
I didn't know you'd done that.
Oh, I did it, but once I invented Concorde, I couldn't really be bothered.
Right.
I think I'd, But I didn't really want to be an aeronauticist. It was a thing I said because my mum thought it was cute. And I think there's a lot to be. Or my mum thought it was great and impressive. And I think there's a lot to be said about like what that impression left on me right through. Like, you know, my A levels, I took maths and economics, and I did maybe economics I liked. I've genuinely had an interest in economics, but maths and physics, I was a menace in those classrooms because I had no business being there because I didn't want to pick them. I picked them because my mum wanted me to and said it's the smart way to go. I should have done media. Like, I know that most people do media and, you know, they bomb at it. I don't think that would have been the same for me. I think I'd have relished in a sort of media format. So I really did have this opinion for many, many years, way into my 20s, probably the start of my 30s, that I have to do this. I have to, like, you know, I've got to be successful. I've got to smash it because that is what happiness is. And it wasn't really, I started learning those lessons 30 onwards, what happiness actually is. It's mad, isn't it, to think you get to 30 and realise that, like, wealth can help you. It can help you, but it won't make you happy, especially depending on how you accrue that wealth. And I think I'd rather have passions and help people than be rich and successful. That doesn't really... I mean, obviously it's...
You're just saying this for the podcast, right?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I want to be fucking... I want my face on every packet of Durex going.
Yeah.
You know, just that ultimately is the best contraception.
I want my head on a coin. That's what I want.
A big coin. Yeah. What, they're going to start doing £5 coins, aren't they?
Yeah, a potato-shaped coin. I generally find that, like, I'm better mates with my richer mates. Like, the richer they are, the better mates I find they are. Do you know what I mean?
Because they can they've got, you can get more out of them, can't you?
They've
really
got better personalities, better cars, if, like, you go around theirs for, like, you know, a drink and that, they've generally got a better buffet. They won't go to, like, Lidl or Iceland.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No. They're at least Aldi or maybe Waitrose.
Waitrose, mate. Waitrose, you know. You ain't getting a bottle of Blue Nun around there. You know, you're getting, much like you, you're probably getting a £15 bottle of wine. Like, it's...
17. Never said 15. We're getting this 50. You're making me look all right, cheapskate.
Like,
my rich mates.
Like, no, I totally agree. Like, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not as bright as you because, you know, my dad said get a trade and I done what my dad done. I become a mechanic and... Yeah. You know, not that I did become a mechanic, but I got my qualification to become a mechanic because I thought my dad would think that's a good thing. I then did go and do media and then just decided it was more fun to dick about in bands. But I did do what you done and thought, well, you know, I got to kind of... You do try and... As much as I guess you are, you know, you rebel a little bit and you want to try and find out who you are and, you know, and your parents are squares and like, but there's always that thing that I think does ground you with your parents and think like, well, they'd like that if I'd done that.
Mm.
And
my mum was very dominant. I didn't really realise that until I went to sort of like, I went to see a therapist when I was like in my late 20s and she... And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, I'd never had this idea that my mum was super dominant. And actually, she is. And I think that also...
She is, man. Like, last time I went round there, she had me strapped to a fucking crucifix pegging my arsehole. Right. Oh, mate. What's your...
No, that was mine. It's your number two.
Oh, Mrs. Glasson. Right, what am I going to go for? Right, do you know what? I'm going to go for a combo. Right, I'm going to go for a combo. And it touches on the kind of the buffet. But generally, I'm going to say booze and olives.
Booze and olives. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah, go on then.
Like,
go
the thought of being, like, sort of 15 and going, oh, do you know what? I'm going to have a nice glass of Rioja. Oh, there's some olives over there. Lovely. Like, I think I would have just, the thought of it, I would have just been like, what?
What?
And if I tried it, I would have been like, this is literally fucking the worst thing I've ever put in my gob.
Yeah, yeah.
Wine, it took me a while with. Beer, that's your... you go Alka Pops. Alka Pops weren't really a thing when I was a kid.
No.
But for me...
Water was barely a thing.
Yeah, it was mead. And no, but it was like... but no, it was you'd have a 2 litre bottle of cider. Or it was Thunderbirds or MD 2020. They were the sort of the introductions that you'd be necking over the park. But beer didn't come for another couple of years, and then it would have just been like Foster's and stuff like that. But I remember, as a kid, my family were all, my extended family were all quite, drink culture was a big thing. If we were family parties, always lots of booze. All of my family had made wine and beer and stuff like that. It was always there. And I remember, sitting at the having Sunday dinner with my mum and dad, and my dad was like, do you want a beer? Or, do you want to have a shandy? And I was like, I'll have a shandy. Mm-hmm. And, but before he put the lemonade in it, I'd sip the beer, and it was just horrid. I can picture the glass and everything and just thinking, I'm never going to like this. And I'm recording this today quite hungover because I did disappear at the pub last night and have a few pints of Doom Bar last night, actually.
Oh, I like a Doom Bar.
And, but...
I remember that, having a sip of my dad's Hofmeister and being that's just like drinking, if you put a load of 2p pieces in a pint of water.
100%. Washed down with a quick lick of a battery. It was it's just fucking horrid. But olives, I've really had to work at. I've only in the last year have I got my head around a green olive. A black olive, I'm all right with.
I know what you mean.
But green olives, it just still took me a while. But I'm there now. And I'm going to be 50 next year and I'm only just getting into green olives.
It's brave of you, mate. It's brave of you.
Maybe I should get High Sheriff's Award for that.
Yeah, I think so. It's when Pip decided he was going to eat more than just pizza.
I couldn't believe that. I remember when we went to see him, me and Mark Watts went to see him and Dan at Coco. And Mark went backstage and I remember him just eating all of Pip's rider, which was just sweets. It was just chocolate and crisps in a bowl. And I remember Mark just eating it all. And it was just ate pizza. It's he's a very healthy young man now, isn't he?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely all opened up his taste buds to all the wonders of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, you're number one. Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think I'm gonna. Where am I gonna go? I guess I changed my something that really significantly made me happier was changing my mind on having shame about being a nerd.
Thought you was gonna say nonsense.
I just come out of the closet and brought all the kids out with me.
Yeah,
it's about time they saw daylight.
Fritzalizing a load of fucking kids.
Fritzled the hell out of them.
I
think deciding a couple of years back that I was just going to let everyone know that I fucking love Warhammer and board games and all this other thing, because I think I was so pent up about it because of impact that, again, things that my best mate Jay said to me when we were 14, 15, and he was I'm going to stop playing all this now, and I was why that? It's because I want to have I think I want to date a girl, and this is really not the thing to do. I felt so much shame. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault at all. I'm not dumping on anyone else. It's just what human beings do, right? One person makes a decision and ultimately you're only ever responsible for how you think and feel, which is a very empowering thing to know and understand. But you're not taught that as a kid. You're taught fucking what an oxbow lake is. You don't get told how to manage your emotions or anything like that. But I felt utter shame. And so I buried it all and repressed it all. And I would sneakily, like, I've many times joked, I'd hide my white dwarfs underneath my porn collection because I'd rather the girls I was dating find my escort, my copies of, like, Razzle than see that there was something with a fucking goblin on the front. But that
you
is
probably
not...
You'd probably
get
like, a bit of goblin inside escort as well.
You got plenty of goblin. But if my partners would have seen a goblin in my cupboard, there would have been no crotch goblin going on on the bed. So not that a lot of that happened anyway. But I think to deny who you are and the things that push your little buttons inside is a really dangerous thing. And whatever that is, however that is, like that to me, like mine is like nothing as big as like someone like who might be like facing challenges with their sexuality. Like, the thought of repressing your sexuality and how many how people have had to do that over the years because of like societal sort of impressions and tolerances blows my mind, because it's bad enough not wanting to like let people know that, oh yeah, I like to fucking play Warhammer. And I think it's also because of the group, my social groups. No one I really know, even now, that I hang out with really are gamers at all. Like, I've got my cousin Robin, and, you know, I've said many a time, what's my ultimate, describe my ultimate night in, it's basically with Robin. And, but like, yeah, like, when I decided to come out of that, and Molly, like, once, she, after I let her know, because we've been dating about 18 months, 2 years, that Christmas,
you broke her down at that point.
Yeah, I'd already brainwashed her, and,
at that point. I remember it was about 6 months in, and I just thought, she's a shadow of her former self. She was just like, every time I see her, she'd just be in the corner sort of shivering, like just looking like terrified, broken, and like, and I thought, oh, nice one, Chris. Yeah. That's going to work out well, that is.
No, mate, the domestic violence had really been working a treat by that point. Her cooking had got much better, and she didn't speak back. So, let's rewind that, because I was saying awful things about my girlfriend last week, if we can remember. Well, you might not know, but last Monday's release was the arsehole episode, bleaching arsehole episode. And this week I'm talking about domestic violence.
I mean, so in fairness, I mean, let's move forward. I mean, you now let her talk, didn't you?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
I always worry that Molly's wonderful mum's going to be listening to this and be like, oh, I actually thought he was all right. Just be so disappointed in me. But no, the truth is,
she probably scrubbed that stuff off anyway.
No, she I think she probably got my number straight away. Basically, Molly bought me a little Warhammer gift for Christmas, and it was the biggest, best present I've ever had, because it was kind of like my girlfriend going, I don't give a shit, and also you shouldn't give a shit. This is just something that you like, and like, if anyone wants you to feel shame about anything, fuck them. And I think that change of mind for me, like that being able to, whatever it is for you as a human being, whoever's listening, whatever it is that you like doing and people make you feel shame about it, fuck them. You've only got this life, if you know, under conventional wisdom, we all might be wrong on that, but you know, do what you want to do, you know, within reason. If you like being a nonce, that's, you know, there's obvious sensible caveats to it. But yeah, just pursue what you like. Listen to that little pearl of great price, and that change of mindset for me was a wonderfully liberating thing. Stu, what's your number one?
Nice one, Chris Martin. Right, number one. I remember being a little kid and playing with soldiers and having a fort, and it was all about you know, the kings and queens, and I remember thinking, you know, all the fairy tales, like the handsome prince. And you know, you'd fall in love with a princess, and you know, Princess Leia, you know, and all of these people that were kings.
Don't
and
give
queens,
up on that dream, mate.
I just remember thinking were the coolest things ever. And then you get to a certain age and you realise that the royal family are just a bunch of fucking cunts.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.